Thanks, you guys. I'm going to confess real quickly that I had anticipated to change my outfit for whatever reason. Christmas felt like I needed to have a more like not so casual sweater on, but then I realized that it's actually very fitting. So if you're not like, what it says is I'm probably just going to jingle some of the way. I'm tired. And it's only fitting. Yes. Is what? The snack sign up. If it's at your table, keep it moving. So why it's so fitting right now is because our family, Andrew and I, went to Texas to a conference. We came home on a Sunday, and on Sunday, my kids were at the airport to pick us up with my in-laws, and they immediately told us how they weren't feeling well, their hands were hurting, their throat was hurting, and they had all these spots. My in-laws did not know what they had, which we now knew is hand, foot, mouth. And so, and my kids aren't young anymore. They are 12, 11, and 9. So it's not like a baby thing. It's like a everyone thing. And so that was 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago. So we get home, and I tell the kids, like, I don't know what it is yet. So I'm like, you guys, let's just go to bed. It's midnight, by the way. And we can get up and talk about it tomorrow. Like, you're probably fine. So we all go to bed. We wake up in the morning, and the girls are showing me that they have, like, these blisters on their hands and on their feet. They thankfully don't have it in their mouth, but they do have it on their thighs. So they weren't calling it hand, foot, mouth. They were calling it hand, foot, thighs. And so we went to the doctor, and I was like, I'm not certain that I know what this is, but I think this is hand, foot, mouth. But it's also like, I've only heard of it in kids like 5 and under. And the doctor walked in and she was like, yep, that's hand, foot, mouth. And she checks their ears and their throat and, you know, kind of keeps going. And then she stops and she goes, you know, Ruby's throat is a little red. I'm just going to test for strep. Swabs it, comes back like 3 minutes later. She's like, that's strep throat also. And I was like, oh gosh, okay. So still thankfully, like the blisters are uncomfortable, right? Like if I've never had it, based on what they were telling me is that if you touch anything, it just hurts. So they were both just in like bras and underwear laying on the floor like starfish, like don't touch me, don't walk by too quickly, like we can't have the breeze, just nothing. So they were in pain for a couple days. So on like day 3, they have a lot of energy, but this is a very contagious thing. So we don't leave the house for 10 days. And they never got sick. So we have 3 girls, 2 of them had it. On day 7, Ruby, who has now been attacked by hand, foot, mouth, and strep throat, has this incredibly, terribly looking rash outbreak from the amoxicillin she was taking, like covering 90% of her body. So it is like hot and it's itchy and she's so uncomfortable. So we go back to the doctor, they take her off that, they give her a steroid and we're like on the mend. So then on day 10, which is a Friday, they are finally able to go back to school because all the things they've passed, all the tests, they go back to school. And they only went to school that day because Ruby had a science fair and a project she's been working on. So I told Lydia I needed 7 minutes. I'm about to come to my 7 minutes before I even start. So Friday they go to school. My oldest daughter, Esther, she's in theater, so she has her performance this weekend. It's Thursday night, Friday night, 2 on Saturday. She does Thursday night, super fun, Friday, super fun, comes home Friday night when my other kids have been cleared, and she's like, Mom, I have the spots and blisters on my hands. So then we start the next 10 days of quarantine. So that's, she doesn't get to finish her theater, and then that next week is Thanksgiving week. So then we cancel everything. We were hosting Thanksgiving. We cancel it all. We stay home. We finally made it back to church on Sunday for the first time that the 5 of us have been out of the house in 3 weeks, but we are all alive and well. We're just going to jingle probably some of the way. So, all of that to say, you guys, it is a joy to be here tonight. Christmas has a way of stirring something deep within us. Memories, hopes, longings, and sometimes even the places in our hearts that feel dim. And it's in those moments that I think Jesus speaks one of his most tender and powerful I am statements. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but have light, have the light of life. That's in John 8:12. What a promise. Not just light around us, not just light in the good days, but the light of life, the light inside us. So tonight we're going to sort of just talk a little bit about light and what it does and what it means. And I have about 4 points we'll kind of go through. And then the rhythm tonight will be we'll move back into worship, and then we'll have another sort of engaging with the Christmas story worship, Christmas story worship. So it's going to be a different flow tonight. But I think it's going to be a good night for us with reflection, time with Jesus. And yeah, so we'll jump in. So the first thing, light reveals. When Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he's saying that his light will highlight what is true. What is true about God? What is true about life? What is true about ourselves? Think of the nativity story. The star shining in the night, guiding the shepherds and the wise men. It revealed where Jesus was. It leads. It guides. The season draws out some of those questions as we're looking at what light reveals in us. It reveals the things that we're thinking kind of internally. What is God doing? Where is my next step? Why does this season feel so heavy? And while we long for clear direction, Jesus doesn't offer a detailed map. Instead, he meets us with himself saying, I am the light. His presence becomes the clarity and the guidance that we need. Light comforts. When Jesus says, I am the light of the world, he's not just describing a brilliance, he's describing comfort. Because light doesn't only reveal, light also reassures. In the cold of winter, we're instinctively moving towards warm light. Glowing trees, I mean, when we walk towards Broadway and the trees are glowing, like there's something that draws us in. Candles, fireplaces, light softens a room, it settles our hearts, and it makes unfamiliar spaces feel safe. The world Jesus stepped into that first Christmas was anything but safe. It was a world thick with political unrest, poverty, fear, and what seemed like heaven's long silence. And yet, God didn't break the darkness with a shout. He didn't arrive with a force. He came as a baby, light in the gentlest, most vulnerable form. Because sometimes God's comfort doesn't arrive like a floodlight. Sometimes it shows up like a flicker, a small but steady glow that reminds us that he is near. Maybe it's in a scripture verse that's quietly running through your head, or a friend that reaches out at just the right moment, or a peace that settles over you without explanation, or maybe it's a strength you didn't know you still had. Jesus is not only the light of the world, he is the light that steps into your world. He is the light that steps into my world, into our homes, into our relationships, into our fears, into our waiting. He is the warm, steady light that finds you even when you're not sure how to find him. Light spreads. No light exists for itself. It always extends, fills rooms, and transforms the space around it. At Christmas, we celebrate that Jesus came close. Emmanuel, God with us. But he doesn't just stop there. He lights in us, his light in us becomes the light through us. It spreads. We carry this powerful light in many ways. In the words we speak, in the compassion we give, in the prayers we pray, in the ways we showed up, even when it's hard. Jesus says in Matthew 5:14 that you are the light of the world. He shares that identity with us. So this Christmas, your light might be the spark that God uses to rekindle someone else's hope, because God's light in us will spread. And the last one, light wins. Darkness cannot put out light. It never has, and it never will. From the manger to the cross to the empty tomb, the story of Jesus, the story of Jesus is the story of light overcoming darkness. Every Christmas, we retell the truth that hope was born in night, and that night could not stop it. So whatever darkness you may be facing, uncertainty, fear, loss, loneliness, change, Jesus stands in the middle and declares, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And that means in our story that it's still being unfolded. It means your night is not final. Your tears are not the end. His light is stronger. So this Christmas, let the light around you, on your trees, on your houses, in the world, remind you of the light within you. So we are going to move back towards worship. And as we do, keep this in mind. Because Jesus came, you are never walking alone. Because Jesus shines, you are never walking without hope. And because Jesus is the light of the world, you carry his light into yours. May his light guide you, comfort you, and shine through you this season.
So ladies, this is the part of the night where we're going to be a little bit more reflective and a little bit more contemplative. We are going to read through Luke 2 to just embrace fully the story, the light of the world coming down. This is definitely a time for reflection, a time for prayer. There's going to be images on the screen. There's going to be three different ones as we read through them. You have paper in front of you. You have pens in front of you. Jot down things that come to mind as they do. This is a season of joy and glad tidings, and it is also a season of loneliness for some and grief for some. And my favorite Christmas song is O Holy Night, because sometimes I feel like I get to December in a weary world state and I'm ready to rejoice. And if that's you, I hope that you will use this time to give that up to our Lord and let him walk with you through that. There will be prayer over to the side as we always offer. The prayer team is going to be ready to receive you. There are no real rules with stuff like this. Get up, sit down, kneel, wander. We just ask that it be reflective for you. So this is your space to be comfortable where you need to be in a posture of receiving. So this is going to be Luke 2, 1 through 20. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria, so everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born to you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and laying in a manger. Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heavens, and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angel had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. Luke 2, 1 through 20. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria, so everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and laying in a manger." Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was laying in a manger. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. We're going to read through it one more time. The team is in place. They're ready for you. If you have needs that are coming up, things that are being brought to mind, please feel free to utilize them. You do not have to be stationary. Luke 2, 1 through 20. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria, so everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over the flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and laying in a manger." Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people he favors." When the angels had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known." They hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was laying in a manger. After seeing them, they reported the message they were told about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. As we wrap up our night, I'm just going to leave you with this last Christmas blessing. There is still prayer open. There is no need to rush out of here. We understand if you're ready and it's your time, but there is no need. We will be here. But let me just leave you with these last few thoughts as you head into this Christmas season. I pray the peace of our Savior, Jesus Christ, to fill your hearts tonight and go with you. As we leave, daughters of God, may his Spirit rest upon each of our hearts with comfort, grace, and renewal. May the Lord remind you that you are seen, known, and deeply loved, created with purpose, called with intention, and strengthened by his everlasting arms. As we have celebrated and will continue to celebrate the birth of Christ, may his light shine in every corner of your life, bringing hope where you need hope, healing where you need healing, and joy that overflows. May God bless each and every one of the women in this room with friendship rooted in faith, with community that uplifts, and the courage to walk boldly in this upcoming year in his calling. May his presence guide you through this season and into the new year with renewed strength, deep peace, and blessings pressed down and overflowing. In Jesus' name, I pray this over you. Amen.